What's up, y'all? Today we're talking Central Park 5 updates and a lot more on Black Hollywood Live's The Trend.
You're tuned into Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Tune in right now.
Hey.
Hey, 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 hey. Hey. What's up, y'all?
Are you alive, Dario?
I'm alive. It's Thursday.
Alive,
it's June.
Honey.
It's hot outside.
It's hot.
It's hot as hell outside.
Terry, you could be a ham model.
Thanks.
Oh, that was really random.
That was really random.
No, I was just acknowledging
you. I will receive that. I'll get that check, too. All right.
Okay.
What's up, y'all? I'm Dario Christian from Black Hollywood Live. Joining me today is Courtney Stewart.
What's up, everybody?
DJ Jesse J.
What's up?
And his Born in the 90s t-shirt.
Yes. $5, five below.
We got two special guests today. One is a legendary supermodel turned author. Lyris Cross is with us today.
Welcome, welcome, welcome.
What's up, everybody?
And another one is a legendary person in the making. Artist Princeton Perez is with us today. Like that. Like that.
Had all the girls screaming.
I know.
Like that. Right. He gave me that Quincy Combs hair today, man.
You give me. You might as well call me Albie Shore Jr. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Y'all could be related. Y'all could be related.
I was like, look, should have been in the DeBarge movie.
Right?
Yeah. Oh, right.
I'm trying to become legendary, so there's my own movie.
Amen. Yes.
I feel that.
Sure.
I feel that.
About that life.
So, how's everybody doing today? Actor.
Blessed and highly favored.
Hallelujah.
Okay. Right?
Praise him.
I'm glad y'all are here. We got a lot of fun topics today. We're going to start off with a couple, and then we're going to get into what projects you two are working on.
So. Okay.
Absolutely.
Hey. Well, speaking of music, Amanda Seales is trying to splash into that world.
She's been in it before.
Right.
Well,
you said splash.
The single is trying. It has a great beat. The single is Blank Got Me Fucked Up. It is her, as she's claiming, the Black girl anthem of the summer. And, you know, in a time where I think we are praising mediocre music, it's dope.
Oh,
wow. You starting early with you going in today.
I mean, here's my thing. I was a huge Amanda Seales fan. I loved her. Courtney actually put me on to her. I would listen to her podcast. And then I worked with her very intimately. And it just was a disappointment, you know, when you see people's personalities. You know. But other than that,
okay, so because you can't just, you know, you
that's all you're getting, signed contracts and all that.
But let me try and see if I can understand this. Does this mean that she was not as nice to people as you would have expected her to be?
Yeah, it was just watching how she interacts with people and people who are trying to help her.
Okay,
and watching that energy. And now, you know, everyone sometimes has bad days and things like that. I understand that. But working in certain quarters with somebody, there were great days, positive opportunities and things like that. And just seeing how, as my dad would say, it's attitude adjustment hour. I mean, you know what I mean? Shout out to her. She's hosting NBC's new show, Bring the Funny, which is huge, with Kenan Thompson, Chrissy Teigen, and Jeff Foxworthy. She has a book coming out in July.
Yeah.
And also she's doing her podcast and she's doing her tour, Smart Black and Funny.
Smart Funny and Black.
Yeah, all throughout the summer. So
check
her out.
Did you guys see the HBO special?
Yes.
I did.
Okay.
I haven't
seen it yet. So.
Okay. Anybody?
She's a great entertainer.
She is
on stage, she is fire.
She's fire. I'm
really smart.
Yes.
Yeah. So you're not into the song?
No.
Did your experience with her influence your opinion about the song?
More so not about the song, more about her commentary because it's kind of like, well, this is what you're saying, but then this is how you're acting.
Okay.
Hmm.
Two different things.
Interesting. Okay. But then musically, it's like, you know, I'll say the same thing about, you know, the stars like Meg the Trainor or all these artists that are coming out. It's like there's a lot of mediocrity that we're allowing to bless our radio waves, and like for me, I wasn't blown away by it. But I mean, it has like a little bop to it, like it gives me like a little old school kind of a vibe. But
it's a funny video.
The video is funny.
I was entertained by the video.
I mean, I don't think she was like trying to be all serious about it. So I think it's kind of like Weird Al Yankovic, maybe.
Oh wow!
Well, she was a part of Flowetry.
I'm like, Lyris, is that a compliment? I'm trying.
So
to
I think she like.
No, like, but you know what I mean. Like, he did comedy.
Like mocking music video. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah. I feel that.
Somebody else did it after that? Who was that? Who did it?
Lots of people. Hart had his Chocolate Thunder.
Well, I mean, who kind of made a career off of it after Weird Al Yankovic? Somebody else did it. I don't remember.
Made a career. I think he was kind of
maybe the innovator.
Yeah.
I mean, but then if you think about it. The number one record in the country, the Old Town Road. Like, I remember seeing that on Twitter as a meme.
It was
video of a cowboy like dancing, mm-hmm. and he was dancing to his own music, but he had replaced it. And Lil Nas X was like promoting it that way, like when cowboys try to dance. But then the song actually became big. So I mean, you never know. I mean, the music industry is so fickle. You don't know. One day you don't know the record, the next day it's the biggest record in the world. So,
very true.
So, Prince, you want to work with her in the future?
I need to hear the record. I haven't heard it.
Okay. Because maybe you could hook her up, you know what I'm saying?
Maybe she could sound. It could be like a deal, you know what I mean?
You know what I'm
saying? For sure.
Oh, no, I'm just waiting for Megatron 621, Nicki Minaj.
Nicki Minaj was like banging in that Instagram picture.
It got real quiet. I don't feel like the whole room felt that very much.
I felt. Oh, have you seen her pictures on Instagram?
Look, when you just put a word on social media and the world cares more about that than music that's being dropped by her counterparts.
I'd rather hear Lil' Kim.
Oh, well, no. You can watch. She has Girls' Cruise coming up on VH1. You can check that out.
I want Kim to come out with like a great single.
That's what I'm saying.
Like the one she just dropped recently that she did the video for. I was like, no.
Doesn't it sound like she's recording in a basement? Like the audio sounds off. No, I'm looking. I have every Lil' Kim album. I just have posters of her.
I love Kim.
But it just sounds like the quality. It's like she has friends. She has money. Why are they not like, girl, come record in here?
We should just let it go.
And Missy just need to come together and put out something hot. Because Missy can bring it on the beats.
Yeah.
She needs like a... You can't take a bunch of time off and then come back with something that's just so-so.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I think the track that she released isn't a song that you like really want to dance to in the club.
Right.
She needs something like... Welcome to Brooklyn. Like, you know, she needs something like that.
Yeah, I'm feeling you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Because she got it. You know what I mean? She still got it. I mean... I don't know. I would love to see the fire.
I'm excited to see what this Girls' Cruise is going to do and what it is.
What is it?
It's her, Chili, and
Ashanti.
Maya. Maybe Ashanti is going to go too. B. Simone and another female comedian. They're all going to go to the Caribbean. It's a reality docuseries.
So it's just like a girl's trip to the Caribbean with some
reality.
Which we're going to get some love. And then there's going to be at the end of it, she'll drop an album.
Okay.
So,
we'll see.
While they're girl cruising in the Caribbean and doing all kinds of things, we got some black folks up on Capitol Hill trying to get these other black folks paid some money for the 400 years of slavery in this country. So it was announced.
Right. Nice segue.
that was like, you ran with that one, Courtney.
Because, you know, you guys, you have the light story, and then I have to come in with the like heavy dark
stuff. Right.
All right, here we go. Right. So this week it was announced that. Ta-Nehisi Coates, who is a thought leader and writer and whatnot, he also wrote the case for reparations for the Atlantic about, I think it was 4 years ago now that he wrote that. He and actor Danny Glover, who's an activist in this area, will be basically testifying before the House Judiciary Subcommittee on the Constitution, Civil Rights, and Civil Liberties on Wednesday, June 19th. For those of you that it's not lost on, that's Juneteenth. They're going to be up in Congress talking about why black people deserve some kind of recognition and perhaps some financial substantialness from the work that their ancestors gave to this country. They will be testifying basically House Bill 40, I think it's called, H.R. 40. Yes. Has been on like the radar since 1989. It was initially introduced by Democratic Representative John Conyers of Michigan. He introduced it in 1989. Essentially, it was ignored forever. He eventually resigned in 2017, and Representative from Texas Miss Sheila Jackson Lee took up the resolution and reintroduced it in 2017 or 2018. So now it's gaining traction finally because obviously we have a new round of representatives in the House this year, and they are actually looking at, what's crazy is that they're looking at the bill because the bill establishes a commission to study and develop reparation proposals for African Americans and to examine slavery and discrimination in the colonies and the United States from 1619 to the president, to the present.
Well,
there was something in there for that. Okay. 1619
really to the president.
To the present and recommend appropriate remedies. So basically, they're just trying to get the government to say, yeah, we need to study this and come up with some solutions and some ideas about how we can maybe, you know, close the gap, fix some of the sins of our forefathers. So hopefully, you know, they'll testify and some good will come of it, and we're actually moving forward on reparations for Americans that are of African descent.
But what does this still really mean? Like, when I was reading it, I was trying to figure out what are some of the things that we will get from it if it goes.
That's the point. The point is to figure out if there is something that can be done. Like, they're not even convinced. The government's not convinced that this country owes any kind of debt to black people. This is literally just them trying to get people to admit, we might need to look at this and look at the stats over centuries, because it's 400 years worth of information, to actually give scientific data of how black people were affected by slavery, Jim Crow, and all the other bullshit.
Yeah.
Like, they're just trying to get them to say, hey, yeah, we need to look at this. We need some actual statistics around it. And that's how you come up with solutions. You get information, you do research, and then you develop solutions.
Right. And you're saying solutions because a lot of people are like, well, they're going to, white people are going to be like, oh, money, all this stuff, arguing and all this. But it's like, first of all, really, realistically, nothing's going to happen. I just had a conversation with this about somebody else. Until a lot of stuff isn't going to change. Until the older generation, I hate to say this, but is gone. Our generation steps into these power positions. And because I think that we have more of an understanding of, like, what's actually going on within our communities. And that was a long, drawn-out conversation because the other side of that was not hearing it. But, I mean, you look at it across the board with everything. And I think, you know, you say solutions, like, whether it's education, you know, with Native Americans, that's one thing that they do. They get to go to college for free, you know, depending on the college and schools. I think that there are so many different solutions in figuring out how to fix this country.
Yeah.
But I really don't think anything's done. But I'm happy that people continuously. This is the third story we talked about with someone going in and, like, bringing this up. And I think it just has to continue to happen until we get our people in power positions.
So we're going to go to the mail one day. We're going to have a little check because we black.
Well, see, and that's the fight. Like, everybody's like, oh, they don't get a check. They don't deserve a check. It's not even about that. It's about figuring out
check.
Don't get me wrong. I don't want a check. I want 40 acres and a mule. Do you know how much 40 acres is worth right now?
I feel you on that.
And, like, I want my 40 acres and I know where I want it. But regardless.
Where you want that at, Courtney?
In an area in South Georgia where I know my people are from. And we should have had that to begin with. But anyway, the whole point is that at this, you, like, the whole conversation, like, because you don't want to get negative and be like, ah, nothing's going to come of this, or blah, blah, blah. And I often go that place. But what I will say is that it is 2020 coming up, election-wise, and we have, I think that we recognize the power of the black vote in a way that we maybe didn't before.
Right.
And think that is what's going to propel it. So obviously, like, the old white folks gonna have to die, whatever. But the power is it's already started to shift, though. I mean, that's why they're afraid of what's the name, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and whether you agree with her or not, they're afraid of her because she's not afraid to say what she really thinks.
Right.
And if that energy keeps going, and we all keep harnessing that energy, it's not just about waiting till they die, because we can shift power. If we recognize our own power.
Right.
And we just have to not...
Come on, sister.
We just can't not back down.
Go ahead.
Like, the fact that it should be in the debates. Like, we should be telling the DNC, when those Democratic nominees are about to debate on television, one of the topics needs to be reparations. And how do you see that happening? And don't just sweep it under the rug. Like, and
which
we have the power to do that. Exactly. Because they're all like, well, yeah, I'm for HR Bill. I'm for studying it. But nobody wants to commit to,
really get into it.
Really get into it. And we should hold hold them accountable. We are the only people that can. Like, that's the whole point of the process. Yeah. But anyway, so I'm going to shut up now.
No, it's okay, because speaking of accountability, that'd be a great segue for our next subject. Accountability is the subject right here, because we've been talking about Central Park 5 for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
Most of us have seen the miniseries When They See Us on Netflix, which brought to light a lot of the case that happened. And if you don't know, it was a case involving five individuals, four of them black, one Latino, who were allegedly accused of rape. And years later, after they've served a lot of time and given away a lot of their life, we find out that they actually were not the ones who did it. Well, the last week we talked about how one of the prosecutors who was involved in the case, who had written novels, there was a petition out. It was
Linda Fairstein, the investigator.
Yeah. There was a 50,000 person petition that was signed to get her books unsold on Amazon.
Yeah.
And there was also
and out of Barnes and Noble and everywhere.
Take them out.
Because she's made a fortune.
She made a fortune. And now we have a new prosecutor as well who is very heavily in this case. And her name is, what is her name? Elizabeth Lederer.
Yes.
And she was the lead prosecutor in the case. And she has now recently resigned from Columbia Law School over the scrutiny that she's gotten because the miniseries brought so much light to the case.
And for the record, keep calling New York because she needs to resign as a prosecutor as well.
She does.
She's still working as a prosecutor in case y'all need.
And she's still talking.
And she's still talking.
Like, thinking that this whole thing is biased and crap.
She's made some statements. So
she deleted her Twitter and Instagram.
She deleted her Twitter, and she's made statements saying because of this scrutiny that she believes that she's gotten and she doesn't feel like she deserved that, that's why she's leaving her post. Bye.
Bye.
See ya.
Think about 1989 till now. She's still been working as a prosecutor.
Right.
How many innocent black people or brown people have been put in jail under her watch?
Exactly.
And I remember growing up, my mom would always tell me, I grew up with a Hispanic Mexican mom. So she would always say, you know, I may not be going through the same thing that you're going through as a young black man, but the one advice I would give you, mijo, is, especially when I got my car at 18, was if you ever get put over, ever get arrested, do not sign anything. Do not say you did something, even if you think you did, but you're just saying it to get out of it. Don't ever. And I never understood that until I watched this. And she was like, this is the reason. Like, because I honestly, I didn't know about this story until now, which is like the power of social media. I mean, I've seen everybody talking about it. But, I mean, honestly, I'm not really shocked that they got that much time because how the world treats us.
Yeah.
You know, sadly, when I watched it, I wasn't really, like, that shocked. But, you know, just seeing all the documentaries and all the interviews that they've done with Oprah and everybody, it's been kind of healing because I feel like we're moving in the right direction. And I'm glad that directors and writers are starting to make movies and like this.
Yeah, for sure. Shout out to Ava because that's, they said since it premiered on May 31st, it's the most watched thing on Netflix.
I mean,
that's not just black and brown
people. No, I was going to say, I see white people posting about it.
That means white people are watching. And they, no offense, are the ones that need to watch it because, like you said, he wasn't surprised. I certainly wasn't surprised. We know this happens.
Right.
It's happened to some of us. So, I'm very thankful for that. Go Ava.
And also shout out to Black Twitter because the whole thing that happened with Elizabeth Lederer is they blew her up too. So shout out to Black Twitter for
they dragged Oprah too.
They did drag Oprah.
They're like, why
don't
still
you talk about Oprah?
They said, why you still got that video up on your website with that white girl?
They did.
Now we came from
you better leave Oprah alone. Don't you mess with my Oprah.
Mercy. It's above me now.
It's above me now. All right, let's talk about some other things. Let's talk about our two guests that we have in here.
Were we too low? You need to hear us better.
Hey. Hit him high.
Whatever.
Listen, we're gonna start with ladies first. You know,
yes.
Lyris, you've been in the game for a long time. They called you the body. You and Naomi Campbell were two women that they compared as beauty, and you doing your thing. You have a new book coming out.
Yes.
You know, just what's been going on? What's been new?
Well, I'm really excited. My very first book is called "Make the World Your Runway: Top Model Secrets for Everyday Confidence and Success." It's available on Amazon. It is basically principles that I use to prepare for the runway. I expound upon it for everyone to use it on the runway of life every day. Because there are a lot of things that models do that people say, you know, I don't necessarily want to model, but I want to look like a model, or I want to move like a model, I want to act like a model. And I talk about that in the book. But it's kind of like modeling meets life coaching meets your inspiration, motivation. I mean, it's everything in here. Yeah. From your passion, I talk about your passion, your purpose, your posture. Your posture is very important when you're on the runway because it's how you stand and how you look, but your posture is also about alignment. So who are you aligned with in your life?
Yeah.
That's very important. Yeah. Partnerships. Partnerships are very important in life. The reason why I'm doing so many runway shows now, working with bridal retailer Maggie Sotero, is out of a partnership.
Yeah.
And I tell that story in the book.
Pick it up.
So you have to get it on Amazon. But there are so many things that people can use when they're on their runway of life, whether it's walking down the aisle at the grocery store, walking across the stage to get your diploma, walking down the aisle to meet your new wife or your new husband. Like, I had a bride last week who commented that I was her inspiration on her wedding day.
Wow. No. And that's gotta feel good.
That felt very good. Just because she was like, you just exude so much confidence and light, and I wanted to embody that on my special day. And I just feel like people, when they read this book, they're going to leave with deepened purpose, increased confidence, probably a renewed mindset.
Yeah.
And I think everybody needs that because, you know, we all go through our different things.
Absolutely.
Where, you know, we can be having a good week or even a good month or a good year, and then life hits you hard.
Word.
And I think this is the perfect book that's like that reboot that like kicks you in the pants and says, come on, girl. Come on, guy. Like, get up. You got this. You're beautiful and wonderfully made by God. You got this.
I was going to ask that. So men, there's some information for men.
Oh, yeah. I wrote the book so men can read it, and they feel like, oh, okay, she's really thinking about me, too.
Right.
Yeah, the book is for everybody.
And it says the foreword is by Tim Gunn.
Yes!
That's everything.
That's dope.
Yes, that's amazing.
Yes, amazing. I mean, he's like a fashion fairy godfather.
Absolutely.
You know, it was amazing because I was on Project Runway. I became one of the first plus models to win the model portion.
You were groundbreaking. Yes.
Thank you. Season 16. They're airing season 17 right now. But just the relationship that I was able to gain with him after the show has just been amazing. I damn near cried when he said he would write the foreword to my book. But then when I read what he wrote, this is why you gotta get the book.
Yeah.
When I read what he wrote, it really touched my heart because someone who's been in the game as long as he has, to say, you know, me and Laris had this conversation and she changed my outlook on this and she did this and she did that, I was just like, okay, girl, Brucia, shut up. You did that. So, I'm thankful to Tim Gunn. I'm thankful to Project Runway. I'm thankful to God, truly, for just blessing me, allowing me this opportunity to shine and to help other people shine. I think that's really, really important because when I'm able to help someone else live their best life, what? You know, it's like the little Duval song, I'm living my best life. Yeah, I think like all of us, we should be like totally walking in our purpose and happy and, you know, I want the best for people. And I think
that's the energy
everyone,
you exude, too.
Yeah, I really do. And so I feel like when they read this book, they're going to be like, that's my girl. She really wants the best of me, and I'm about to go out here and get it. Yes. Yeah, so that's what I want. So please, go to Amazon.com. Or wherever you're watching across the country, the Amazon for your site, because you don't want that shipping to get you.
It'd be more than the book sometimes.
Okay,
more
exactly. Than the book. Exactly. So please go to Amazon, order a copy of your book. And actually this Saturday, if you are watching and you're here in Los Angeles, I will be having a book signing at the Plus Bus Boutique. The Plus Bus Boutique is in Glendale, California. You can check my Instagram at Lyric, LIRISC, and you can get all the information there. Click the link in my bio. It has the information so you can RSVP, or if you just want to order the book, you can click the link in my bio on Instagram as well.
Congratulations.
Yay. Thank you so much.
I want to ask you a quick question before we move on to Princeton, but you mentioned something about everyone wants to look like a model, and a lot of people do.
Mm-hmm.
What do you feel about these Instagram models who call themselves models? Mm-hmm. You know, we have filters, we have all these great positioning. You know what I mean? Like, they can manipulate the situation mm-hmm. where when you were modeling and how you changed the game mm-hmm. was by being physically you. Who you are. Mm-hmm. And there was no filters or things like that. I mean, sure, you can't help what the magazines do with changing certain things mm-hmm. and that. But how do you feel about these models right now who call themselves models that are like, okay, are you really a model?
Well, there are different types of models. You know, not everyone is a fashion model. Not everyone is a runway model.
Right.
We are in a new day and age. So there are, quote unquote, Instagram models, and they have their lane. But I'm going to go reign in my lane of fashion and print and runway. And, you know, I'm going to do the things that I do, but I'm not going to slight them for what they do.
I feel
and they can read her book, and that way they can learn how to
walk. They can level up and read the book, too.
How would you say the flow of body positivity is now with fashion? I mean, we see recently, you know, a lot of people were complaining with what plus size actually is and almost being offended by what plus size is.
I'm glad you
Nike
said that.
Just came out with their first mannequin for plus size women. Mm-hmm. How would you say that's kind of shifted now in 2019?
Well, I mean, this is the thing. When the revolution is happening, you're going to get a lot of people who are going to hem and haw about it.
Yeah.
But it has to happen, and you kind of have to have this public outcry. And I'm okay with that, as long as the change is happening. Because guess what? You can say all the stuff that you want to say about the mannequins that Nike put out, but guess what? The mannequins are there, and they're not going anywhere.
Right.
Deal with it. I'll say the body confidence movement is definitely bleeding into fashion. And I do have to say that body confidence, to me, is a byproduct of fashion. Mm. It's not fashion. And I think a lot of people get that confused. Models are models for a certain reason. Do you sometimes get body confidence off of seeing your favorite celeb or your favorite model? Yes, you do. But that's a byproduct of modeling. But their main goal is to sell clothes, to make money. And I think a lot of people forget about that. They're in the business of making money. So if they think that they need to tap into some of your body confidence stuff, they're going to do that if it's going to help them sell clothes.
Mm. I feel that.
Yeah, but I'm glad that we're seeing changes like that. Because it's funny to me. We complain about a plus-size mannequin for workout clothes. But then you'll be the same people who are complaining, oh, my gosh, she's so fat.
She doesn't work out.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
It's like, first of all, everybody is not the same size.
Yeah. That's true.
And we're not supposed to be the same cookie cutter. Because if that's the case, I mean, just think about it. If everybody looked like me in this room, I think it would be a boring world. Personally, I think I'm cute for show, but that's the beauty of variety. We need to see tall, short, black, white, freckles, you know,
a variation.
Yeah. Tightly coiled, curly hair, super straight, shiny hair. You know, like we need those differences, because literally that's what makes the world the runway.
That's true.
How we color the world, how we show up. It's all very important. So once we start to get out of our heads that, you know, everybody's supposed to look like how they looked in high school or look like the same way, I think that's when we're going to really grow.
Yeah.
And as far as plus, your other question about plus size being only one size, I actually had to have a conversation with a lady on Instagram this week because she was kind of like, one of the companies that I work with, they posted a picture of a real woman, not a model, on her wedding day, and they said, you know, oh, shout out to our curvy bride, this curvy bride, blah, 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 blah. And they were like, curvy bride? That's laughable. And I said, why is it that you think that curvy has to only mean morbidly obese?
Right, right. Yeah.
Why do you think that plus size or curvy has to mean they have to have this amount of rolls and they have to have cellulite and they have to have this and that? No, because guess what? That same person, whether it's me, I wear 14, sometimes 16, right? I'm tall, so a lot of people don't, they're like, you're not really plus. And I'm like, okay, come shopping with me.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
For what they're making.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I go, like, I posted a video on my Instagram, and I'm trying on pants at, like, a Zara and an H&M.
Girl.
And people are like, literally, it came up to my knee. Because it's European cut, because it's a European retailer. Yeah. And I'm like, this is the thing you guys don't realize. You're like, oh, well, you're more hourglassy, so you can just go to the store and pick up something. Okay, I went to the H&M that everybody goes to, and what did I leave out of there with? Two hats.
Wow. Yeah.
So please, don't try to tell people their experience. Plus size is, you know, plus size starts for some companies, they started at 12, some started at 14. But plus is beautiful no matter what size you are.
Everybody is beautiful no matter what size.
Yes.
And looking like a model over here, we have Princeton Perez.
I know.
He's straight from an ad.
Miami.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
He got the model hair.
He got the model hair, you know what I'm saying?
Like, the glasses, the outfit. The glasses.
You doing big change yourself,
that
man.
That glowing skin, like you've been sun-kissed.
That's right. How you like being that solo artist compared to being in a group?
It's different, man. It's very different. I mean, I joined Mindless when I was like 10 years old, 11 years old. I moved out of my house when I was like 10 years old.
Wow.
Did you understand at that time, like, the magnitude of what was happening?
Because
you guys
understand.
Were huge.
Yeah, I didn't really understand what I was getting into, but I knew that I wanted to be a star, like, at 10 years old. And I was really looking at everybody in sixth grade, like, this is what y'all want to do for the rest of your life? Or I got a career to chase. But, you know, at 10, you don't really know what you want.
Right,
but I knew exactly what I wanted. So it's different, man. When you're in a group, you have three other dudes that depend on, and it's just me. And, I mean, the recording process has been crazy because, personally, me, I love to tour. Like, being an artist.
That's your thing?
That's my favorite part.
Is it the energy of the people
that
you
love
most? Yeah,
I like being on the tour bus. I like traveling. I like going to different cities. Like, that's my thing. Some artists like the recording process. Me, I was in there every day. Like, I have to do everything by myself. Like, backgrounds, harmonies. I was like, dang, I really took advantage of being in a group. But it's very different.
You were like, what did I sign up for?
Man, I'm like, dang, like, if I mess up, it's just me. Like, I can't blame it on anybody else.
Yeah, it's a pro and a con, you know what I mean?
Yeah, it is. But I love it, though. I mean, I'm 23 now, so I gotta grow up.
What kind of developed, like, what you wanted your sound to be, like, inspiration-wise and all of that as a solo artist?
I mean, that's probably why it took me so long to put a song out, was because when I first started, I thought I wanted to make, like, vibey, you know. I was listening to Sade. You know, I wanted that.
It.
And the next week, I was, like, listening to Mark Anthony. And I was like, you know what? I'm making Hispanic reggaeton music. And then the next, it's like, I really didn't know what I wanted to make. But then my heart kept going towards R&B, man. I mean, my favorite artist is Usher. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know, Usher, Tank, Chris Brown. I mean, Bobby Brown.
Yeah. Oh, you took it back.
Okay. I took it
Don't
back.
Be cruel.
Like, you brought the legends, and then you brought them up before. You said
right.
Tank,
yeah.
Bobby Brown.
Man, so yeah. I wanted to do that. So once I found my sound, I started knocking out records like it was nothing.
Do you feel like you have something to prove, you know, with this solo project? A lot of times with groups, you go through this kind of feeling of, like you said, you don't have anyone to depend
team,
on other than yourself.
Oh, for sure.
And so, kind of like, okay, I got to make sure, like, I'm creating my runway for my lane.
Man, I have a lot to prove. Probably more than... I probably put more on myself than I really, like, have to prove. But, I mean, I've been in the music industry my whole teen years.
Yeah.
And we're
That's
pretty
a lot.
Big.
I mean,
a lot, man.
You know, so
I can't imagine.
I just want to prove to people, one, that I could be taken serious as an artist. And just, you know, I think my music would speak for itself. At first, when I was hitting up producers and stuff and I was asking for beats, they just went off of Mindless Spirit. So they were sending me, like, kid, teen type of music.
Yeah.
So I was like, you guys don't get it.
I'm
22.
I'm
a grown ass man.
Right.
But they're looking at me like, come on. So I think my music is going to speak for itself. My music is going to let people know, like, all right, he didn't come to... Coming to mess around.
Well,
go ahead.
It's good you took the time in between two to kind of settle because, you know, you look at Ariana Grande. We were so used to Nickelodeon, and then she puts an album out, and it's hard for us to kind of transfer that mindset, like, oh, she's actually a woman. I'm not looking at this girl anymore. So,
see, but my thing was, I told my team, I said, instead of rushing to put a project out, I said, when you're in high school, right, and you graduate, you have that gap year before you go to college. I said, let me have my gap year. Let me actually go to, like, a club. And I had never been to a club before. Let me get my license. Let me, I did a bunch of things that I never did. I went to my first football game. I went to three proms.
Yeah.
I love that.
He said
three. I went to three. I went to my first one, and I was like, you know what? I can get used to it. So I went to three prom, and I was like,
there's a movie there.
It was
right.
Prom crashing.
I was like, let me just have my gap year and just live life. And then once I had that gap year, I was like, all right, let's go. And I'm like in college right now. In my way.
And that'll help your music too.
You gotta
live life to have something to sing about. Mm-hmm. You know?
Yeah, you gotta have some real stuff to talk about, you know.
Right.
That you've actually experienced, yes.
I've experienced some stuff, man. I've been cheated on. Oh. I cheated on.
What?
You cheated.
I kind of cheated once.
Mm-hmm. Once.
But it came out.
Look.
That's how you got it.
Okay.
But I'm going to send her your book so she can find her confidence. Oh.
Score. Like
she may be hurt, but once she reads this, she'll be walking her own runway.
Well, we got to wrap soon, but I know you had a single that came out in April, and then you have some more music.
No, it comes out tomorrow. Perfect World. It was coming out in April.
Okay.
But it comes out tomorrow, Perfect World. Oh, I'm excited. It's my first single. It's been crazy. It dropped on Tidal yesterday exclusively. Hey. It drops tomorrow.
And then what would you say that the sound is for people who are going to go download it?
It's like real R&B, good film music that you can either play in the club or you can play at a cookout. Medium.
I like both of those,
or in the whip at night. You know, it's just good music.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Look, we're in need of that apparently, especially since Jesse talked about the song at the top of the show.
So
where can fans find out more about your music on social media and all that fun stuff?
Just Prince and Perez, man. PrincePerez.com, Prince and Perez on all my social media. I'm excited for the fans.
You guys to come back and do a little song for us here.
I'm down.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, I'll have to have you in one of my music videos.
I was going to say, I saw a collaboration here. Do a little ad, you know what I'm saying? I can see it.
Let's do this.
I can see it.
I mean, look, you guys bounce off each other real well. You knew that. Look,
you guys got summertime clothes. You got
the outfits coordinated already.
Right, you're coordinated.
They both look like they was off on a yacht.
Okay. Okay.
She's like, okay.
Me and Bay. Or like that other Instagram account, me and somebody's son.
Where can fans find you, Lyris?
Please follow me on Instagram at Lyris C, LIRISC. You can follow me on Twitter at the same one, LIRISC, and on Facebook under Lyris Cross.
And they can buy that book on Amazon.
You can buy the book on
Amazon. Tell us the title one more time.
Make the World Your Runway. If you want a signed copy, it's going to take a little bit longer to get to you, but you can go to my website, which is lyrisc.com, LIRISC.com.
Yeah.
Courtney?
Hey. I'm like, wait, what?
You gonna sell your book?
I don't have a book.
She will.
On film, though. But I am all over the social media universe at Stuart Starlet.
You guys can hit me up everywhere at DJ Jesse J, and also over on AfterBuzz. We're starting AfterBuzz tonight.
All right, we love it. And you can catch me on Black Hollywood Live, obviously, all over the social medias, and on CBS's This Is LA on Saturdays and Sundays at 3:30. All right, so thank you guys for coming
in. Thank you,
guys.
Thank you for having me.
I want to borrow some of that hair. Let me, cut it off. Let me just make myself a little
weird. I still have pieces of my afro.
I'm looking at that. Was that a watch you got on there?
I saw the watch, too.
A bracelet?
Something.
You know, they can make you one of those wigs, one of those units for the guys.
Right. Oh, that's true. You're right. Listen, you got plenty of it, man. You can spare some.
Get him a Princeton unit.
Right, you can say, I'm put a little curl right here, just right here in the front.
That's all you need.
Oh, thank y'all for joining us.
Thank y'all for joining us. We're going to see y'all next
Princeton
week.
Princeton came out of
On behalf of our BHL staff, we would like to thank you for tuning in to Black Hollywood Live, the world's first digital broadcast network devoted entirely to urban entertainment and pop culture. Check out our Black Hollywood Live YouTube page for even more great programming and amazing content. And be sure to subscribe and like our channel when you do. I'm your BHL host, Nakia Monet, and you can find me on all social media at Kiki Boom Boom or at Black Hollywood Live. Black Hollywood Live, Hollywood redefined.